Hi, I'm Brad. Where are you calling from?
Nottingham.
I'm calling from London, England.
I'm calling from Ecuador.
And wherever you are, welcome to Blonde Radio. Hi, I'm Brad. I live on the west coast of Canada, and I love seeing things from a new point of view. And welcome back to Blonde Radio, where every week I will call with strangers from around the world. Today, we'll have a conversation with Jonathan, a special ed teacher from London, Alex, a student from Vancouver, and Charity, a singer-songwriter from Nottingham. But first, at Blonde Radio, we're all about community. So here's what you can expect, as well as some highlights presented by the Discord mod team.
Hey, I'm Fa.
I'm Peach.
I'm Andy.
I'm Ari.
I'm Sable.
I'm Cameron.
I'm Tree. Here's what's happening this week at Blonde Radio.
Thanks to everyone who came out for the Inktober warm-up event this past Saturday. And thanks to Morgan for organizing so much. We're looking forward to an exciting Inktober with the community. Swing by the art channel and check the pinned thread of our art collaboration put together by Hanny. Everyone came together to create some fantastic pieces, and we're so proud of everyone. Finally, big love to our new member plus homies, Kent, Hanny, Ksuni, Rana, Edubs, Grand Maple, Rinkin, and Maddie. Your presence has been a gift, and we're so glad to have you.
Thanks, Tree. And now, here's Jonathan.
Hi, how's it going? I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Brad. Lovely to meet you.
Jonathan, yeah?
Yeah, Jonathan. Pleasure to meet you, my friend.
Fantastic. Likewise. How's your day going?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Exhausted. I'm glad it's the evening. What about yourself? It's what, like 2 p.m.? 1 p.m. for you?
Noon. A fresh noon. I would like to say I've done more with my day, but this is usually about when I wake up, so...
Nice.
Very good.
This is soon before I go to sleep.
Fantastic. We out here. And then where are you calling from?
I am calling from London, England.
Wow. Right in the middle, right in the heat of it, eh?
Right in that city center.
That's awesome. Great to hear. Sweet. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat. But yeah, off the bat here, I just want to give you some space to sort of give the elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What do you do? And what would you say, you know, got you to where you are today?
Cool. What got me to work? I think life for me personally has kind of just been a series of just fortunate events rather than unfortunate, I guess. Obviously, that also thank you before I actually start talking. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure. I've been following your TikTok for a while and just kind of enjoyed like the motivational things and
oh, for sure.
Tried to use it to help change my own perspective on life and whatnot.
Yeah.
No, yeah. So like, I think I put in the message to you how I'm a special needs teacher as a main career, and then on the side doing like video work and videography and some photography things. And it's all just kind of just been happened and fell into things. So with the teaching career, I was initially working at a student bar for a university, and as my partner, she was a bit like, I think you should stop working there now, you haven't gone to uni for 2 or 3 years. I was like, yeah, sounds like a smart move. Took the first job I could at like a agency. That agency happened to be a special needs school where I knew some of my sister's got special needs herself, and I kind of knew a lot of people there through her throughout, like, over the years kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then 6 years later, I'm now teaching there. And because of the pandemic, we were obviously doing a lot of kind of like video work, doing a lot of pre-recorded things for the kids to watch from home kind of thing. They don't deal very well with like live content. So we did a lot of video work to help with that. From there, kind of had a few nudges from our senior leaders saying, you're quite good at video. Like, it would be cool if you did this. Like, would this ever be a career choice for you? And I was kind of like, you know what? Yeah, like potentially. And then about a few months later, ended up starting my own business and registered officially as a company about 2 months ago now.
Oh, congrats.
About two months ago to tomorrow, actually.
Nice.
Officially registered as a limited company.
Oh, that's awesome.
And here we are in 2021, hopefully at the end of a pandemic.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. God, it's so surreal to look back and think in those early days where we thought maybe this go for a couple months, a few months, and and here we are. But thank you. That's a lovely sort of overview of how this all came to be. And I guess I'm kind of curious, and you talked to it a little bit, but if you want to maybe expand upon it a little bit more, if you could, you know, maybe describe how you ended up in these fields that you did, because you've, you know, a mix of the education, but as you're speaking to, this is all sort of strokes of good fortune and good decision making, but then also a passion for the arts. Would you say either one of these things had an early impact on you in your life, like maybe growing up in childhood, or when these passions came about later in life, did it just sort of happen that way?
I think some aspects of it were childhood. I mean, like the teaching side of thing, like I've always, before teaching, I was a police officer for a couple of years. And I think a lot of those things, even the photography to a degree and the videography, a lot of kind of the aims and goals are to try and help someone in some form of way. And I think having a sister with special needs, she, so basically her special needs, she's got a thing called cerebral palsy. So she's missing parts of her brain from trauma at birth. A lot of my childhood, even though she's older than me, was like looking after her, kind of trying to help support her, communicate kind of thing, and wanting to help her and help the family out kind of thing. So I think from there, it led into these careers of supporting others. So going into the police, then kind of doing this job at the special needs school and slowly working my way up to become a teacher, all kind of stemmed from that kind of core belief and core kind of drive to help others. And then the photography came around and the video work came around. I've always loved cameras. I've always loved working with them. It's a thing that kind of runs in our family. And when the opportunity came to film at school, I was like, we could do this well. We could do this in a way that our kids could actually enjoy it rather than it just being like a little iPhone video kind of thing. Right. We could make this like a mini production, as it were. So it's high quality. They can see it. We can add subtitles on the corner. We can have a sign language interpreter in the side as well. So those who understand sign language can see that. We could put visuals on there where the children could properly understand what's being said through like symbolized wording kind of thing. And then from that, I was like, we can help others with this. Let's help out the local community. So the main thing I do for video work is helping out small businesses and getting them access to high quality video and photography without having to pay massive production companies. So I think they all stem from that core thing of wanting to help those who, without sounding odd, wanting to help those who effectively kind of struggle a little bit. So small businesses can really struggle, especially after a pandemic. I want to help them get over that pandemic hump and be like, let's get you some good content, let's help you out and get you some more clients, as it were. And then the same with work, it's let's get these kids to a position where they can function in society and be themselves.
No, that's awesome. And that's beautiful. I'm glad that you found that as a motivation. I don't know if a lot of people can claim that as their own. That's really cool. So what do you think maybe are the bigger sort of misconceptions people have about working in special education? What do you kind of wish people knew?
I wish people would stop watching TV and thinking that people specifically with autism are these quirky, cute people who say funny things, because that is obviously a very large portion of it. But I think the biggest misconception when I say I work with special needs people automatically. So we've got a show in the UK called Undateables. I don't know if there's anything. There's a show on Netflix, which is quite similar. So it's basically quite high ability, normal, in inverted commas, kind of neurotypical child, like adults with autism on a dating show, and people love it. People are like, oh, these autistic people are great. And they always, that's people's first kind of go-to with me. And then I'm like, oh, none of the children I teach can actually talk. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. I think a lot of people don't understand that not everyone actually has the ability to talk or speak or communicate what they want. And a lot of that comes through different ways. So be it small bodily gestures, be it types of eye contact, sometimes even obviously violence kind of thing, if they can't communicate their needs fully. So I think a lot of people think working with children with special needs is this really cute, they say silly things sometimes, where in reality, actually, most of these children can't talk and they can't communicate that. And they are amazingly cute and there's some beautiful, beautiful moments, but it's not all like rosy and amazing and happy all the time. Like it's a tough, I think a lot of people think it's quite an easy job kind of thing, but it's a very tough job, from supporting the children to all the way through. You end up becoming a counselor for families half the time, chatting to them, being like, it's okay, like we'll get you through this, your child's gonna be fine. So yeah, I think the biggest misconception is children, actually a lot of children with autism can't actually talk, and they struggle to say anything. A lot of them just make their happy vocalizations and not everyone can understand that.
No, but thankfully and miraculously, like this world is, or at least parts of this world are filled with, you know, people with big hearts and organizations and support systems that are here to support those people. So
100%, 100%. Yeah. And then we've got such good technology these days that kind of bridge that gap. Communication devices, you can just buy an iPad and get an app for a couple of £100 and you can be on the way to communicating all your wants and needs that you could ever desire. And all these amazing companies that make So my big thing is communication. You can teach all the skills in the world, but if you can't communicate, you haven't got that independence, do you? If you're not the one deciding or saying your thoughts and opinions, you're not being able to live independently. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
I can teach this child how to cook, but did he actually ask? Does he want to cook this food? You know what I mean? Like, does he want to do this job task? Does he want to do X, Y, Z? Like, can I let him or her decide what they want to do with their lives? And then with that opens so many doors. And you have amazing companies out there. There's hundreds of companies out there that, but we got one in the UK, kind of in Europe, called Compass, and they push every like 3 months like this new and upcoming technology just to help these children communicate the best that they can.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's so cool to hear. You know, sometimes I don't know, Twitter's not usually putting that on the what's trending or front page, but I'm glad to know that there's still advancements out there being made. So
I get emails, I think I'd say about once or twice a month, of some new piece of technology. And it's just coming from the early 90s, where my sister was kind of using old fashioned systems that had like the way it would, so it would have to print out the words that she wrote. And it was like an old receipt printer for it to come out from the side. To see it come from that to these machines that you can use your eyes with. So if you can't use your hands, you can just look at the screen and it can say what you're looking at.
That's awesome. That's so, so cool. It
really is.
In what moments would you say does it feel like you're doing the thing you were meant to with your life?
Goodness. I think when you see that positive response, be it either one of the two careers that I do kind of thing, like when you see that positive feedback, you're like, yeah, this is right. This feels like the right thing. Like someone, right, without saying, someone appreciates what I'm doing here. Like people worked in retail for years, and you can feel so disheartened, can't you, by such horrible people out there. Mm-hmm. That when someone turns around and goes, this video was amazing, you've helped my child do X, Y, Z, thank you so much, you're like, that's right, that's the right thing in life, isn't it? Like being able to help someone and have something to show for that, to be able to be like, I did this, like I created this, I helped this person, that's when you can feel like, yeah, that's life, that's the perfect thing in life.
That perfect marriage of like the need and then you being able to provide, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's a word it. But when your skill set lines up with, you know, uplifting or, you know, filling this void or this problem in the world around you, that feels good.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's awesome. This week's kind of question is, what personally for you, Jonathan, makes you feel the most loved?
What makes me feel... I did a love test recently to know what kind of love you need in order to feel loved.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen them online. You answer like a few questions and it's like the kind of what you need, effectively this, what you need in life to feel loved. Mm-hmm. And it's got things like materialistic stuff, words of affirmations, kindness, gestures and stuff. Funny enough, mine came up with words.
Yeah.
So like that words of affirmation, I think that's... I struggle myself to perceive people's kind of facial features, like... I struggle to understand from a facial expression if they're happy or not, because there's so much unspoken language in the world, isn't there? Like there's so much that's left unsaid. Mm-hmm. I need it to be said to know that I'm feeling loved, kind of thing.
Exactly.
I'm one of those people who needs to hear those things. Otherwise, I get stuck in my ruts of just cycling of, no, they don't like me. That's not, I don't feel they're appreciative or they don't love me, kind of thing. If I'm not hearing it, I need that. I need to know the unspoken for me to feel that kind of love and calm, I think.
Yeah, it's
without
and even
so deep into it.
I'm on the same page for you. I think words of affirmation are mine as well. Even if all those other like boxes are ticked as far as love languages, like someone is giving their time, they're showing like actions of effort, they're, even if there's some gifts going on, that's cool and great. But if I don't get like that 100% communication clarity that, like, you know, verbally it's there, I'm gonna doubt it. That's the worms in my brain.
100%. You could give me everything in the world, but if you don't say those three words or say something that reconfirms that kind of affection, I'm just like, they just did it for the sake of doing it.
For sure. No, that makes sense. So to kind of flip that here in closing, what advice would you give to someone who wants to communicate their love needs? You know, how do you express to people what you need?
From what I've learned throughout this pandemic particularly, and over the last like 2 years, is say it. Like, life is too short to sit back and be polite. I think especially the classic meme for English people, isn't it, is we just sit back and smile and be like, it's fine. I think, like I said, like over the last like 2 years, if you need something, communicate that. Like, you're allowed to be selfish. You're allowed to be in control of your own life. If you need something from someone, if you need something done, say it. Like, don't keep that built up, because if you keep it in, it's just gonna be worse in the long run. And look, people can't read your mind, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously it's so hard to communicate, it's so hard to tell people things, but you need to kind of look at it from like a self-preservation of, if I don't communicate this, I'm not going to get what I need, and then I can suffer in XYZ different areas, mental health, love life, family life, if I don't communicate that. And that's, it even means putting up those boundaries. If you need someone to stop doing something, you stop. Like, I think I've learned that, especially in the last year, is we're adults now. Like, if you've moved out your home, regardless of your age, I think, like, as long as you're over the age of kind of making your own decisions and stuff, it's, if you don't want to do something or you want to do something, you do that. Like, no one's making you do anything in life, so make sure you do what you want to do, be satisfied and get what you need, and push for yourself to be your main focus.
Yeah. We really only got one shot at this, and I love so much what you were saying earlier. No one out here is mind readers, you know.
Yeah.
It's unfair to expect others to see in ourselves what we're not communicating. So no, that's lovely. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time and your words. Those are very, very meaningful and really appreciative.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for all the things you're doing online and helping people change their ways and see things from another perspective.
Oh, that's so sweet. Do you have any exciting plans for the rest of your day?
No. We're watching some trashy UK shows for the rest of the evening.
Lovely.
Sitting back. Sitting back. What about yourself?
Oh, man. I'm going on a big trip later this week. I'm finally meeting up with a lot of these people that I've met through this project. So
that's awesome.
Which is cool, but that also does mean I'm like compounding all my work this week into the first few days of the week. So we'll see.
Will it be like that TikTok where you met up with the guy that you met in your Discord, but like on like a bigger scale kind of thing?
Yeah. Literally awesome. Like people of that caliber that I've spent a lot of time with getting to know literally over the past year. I'm going to be up with like maybe 10 of them. It's going to be crazy.
Oh, so lovely.
I love that.
Online people mean a lot more, I think, in people's lives than people realize.
Big time. Yeah. Again, thank you for taking the time to chat. It was really a lot of fun.
Pleasure. Lovely to meet you.
Likewise. But yeah, I'll let you to it. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
And enjoy the rest of your day. And good luck. And enjoy your trip this week.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
Amazing. Take care.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Alex, right?
Yeah, it's Alex.
Fantastic. Sweet. Well, I'll give some space at the start here to let you sort of give the elevator pitch on you. You know, who are you? What do you do? And what would you say kind of got you to where you are today?
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It is. I don't really know who I am. That's kind of like the thing. I guess I'm like a student. Yeah, I'm like a student right now, but I feel like I don't know if I'm on the right path. But I'm just trying to figure it out right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I've had like everyone like says like to go into like health sciences because there's a lot of jobs and like you can be a nurse and doctor and everything.
Yeah.
But, like learning about it and like going more in depth with it, I'm just kind of finding that I don't know if that's really what I resonate with personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm already like basically like almost graduating, so
yeah.
There's no point in not finishing it. But yeah, so I think where I am right now is just like figuring out who I am, especially since I've like, I think your 20s are very transformative and that you're able to, you know, so much changes and like seeing how much my friends are changing and growing and me growing without them. Mm-hmm. It's just been I don't know if it's like sad and lonely, but I guess it's necessary for growth. And I'm just figuring it all out right now. And it's,
yeah, I think that's a split in the road that everyone has to come to at some point, is realizing like, oh shit, like for real, we're all on our own separate, you know, journeys, and that, you know, sometimes we're not going to grow in the same way, which is, you know, can be very cool, but also at the end of the day, yeah, that's a little sad sometimes.
Yeah, it's, but I think, I know I saw a lot of TikToks and they're like, choose growth over company. And
yeah,
but it's lonely sometimes to like try to figure stuff out on your own, just because I feel like I'm like my path is so different from everyone else in my life. Yeah, just because, like, for example, my friends were, like, they're all super artsy. Like, in high school, they were all super artsy and stuff, mm-hmm. and I was doing the science route, so. And then, I don't know. At this point in my life, I don't know.
No, but, that's fair.
Yeah.
The company can transcend whatever the interest is, but I will say it definitely does pay, at least, you know, despite the hardships and going in different directions, to find that growth and be your whole individual person. It makes finding the company way easier once you, like, get that good picture of who you are.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Because I'm honest and I was like, I don't really know who I am right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I definitely turn to other people for that sense of identity. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, something I've been working through, like, in therapy and everything. So that's been good, but tough.
But tough. Hey, congrats.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of a lighter question maybe to start here, but I'm curious. If you could describe maybe the impact Avatar has had on your life. Listen, tattoos are a big commitment. I'm curious what inspired the Appa tat.
Oh, I don't know. I grew up with Avatar. So yeah. It was just something that I knew I wanted. And I was like, it's cute. It's super cute. And, like, who doesn't love Appa?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh my god, his I forgot what the episode title was, but I mm-hmm. you know, his, like, his lost days, like, that episode. Yeah. Oh my god.
Gut-wrenching.
That episode, it was so sad, but yeah, he's the MVP.
There was quite a resurgence. I remember when quarantine first hit, it felt like my entire For You page was Avatar.
Yeah, and I was like, you guys are so late to it.
Honestly, but better late than never. And it holds up. It's just good storytelling.
It is. It really is.
It's awesome. Tell me, okay, so you're talking about, you know, your friends more artsy inclined, but then you're out here with the film photography. So I'm kind of curious, is it the process, the spontaneity of film, the physicality, or something else that really draws you to that medium?
I think I don't know if I would consider it anything other than just, like, a hobby, just because I think they look really nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I feel like it's much more real compared to, like a DSLR. Because I feel like that's so, also the fact that you can only get, like, one shot, kind of, right?
Exactly.
And, like, compared to, like, the DSLR, you can take, like, so many shots at the same time. Mm. You get a really nice shot, but it's not as real. And that's what I love. Like, even if it's, like, the picture's a bit blurry, it still looks like
it's that moment.
Know, how it's supposed to be. Yeah.
No, anyone with a DSLR, and me included, who, like, takes one photo, if they're going on a photo shoot, like, one photo a minute, they're lying to themselves. Like,
yeah, there's so many photos that you hate and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
But
it's a big process afterwards. You get back, you have all the photos, and you're, like, judging which ones are, like, good. But if you're taking one or two on, like, a outing, then, and those are just the couple of photos you have, and you just have to live with that. That's pretty cool.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if, like, I know one of my friends, he had, like, a manual, point and shoot. I mean, not a manual film camera.
Yep.
And yeah, it was definitely, like, he took really good photos, but I, like, with my point and shoot, I'm still, like, sometimes I'm still struggling. But yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, you enjoy it. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Who in your life would you say makes you feel truly understood?
I don't know. kind of rough because that person's not in my life anymore. So
yeah.
I have one other friend, but we're still, like, kind of new friends, but mm-hmm. I feel like she does definitely get me. But in terms of, like, that one friend, like, it was my ex-boyfriend.
Oh,
it didn't really work out. Mm-hmm. So that's, I was trying not to choke up there, but.
You know. No, we could. We in it. And even with, like, new friends, you're talking about this new friend that you're speaking with and feel like gets you. I know that pressure, like, you don't want to put all the shit on the new person, like, be like, okay, so now that you, like, truly get me and, like, get into that deep shit, or do you feel like you can do that, or is that still a ways off?
It takes me a long time to really feel like I can, like, trust someone, just because I feel like I used to give my trust so much to someone, and then I ended up regretting it, mm-hmm. but I think it just, like, happens with time, like, you guys just bond over things, and you find out that they're not that different from you and that they really do understand. Mm-hmm. Or they don't understand and then you guys aren't friends anymore.
Simply move on, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully this isn't one of those situations. It sounds like you got a good one.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This week's question is, what personally makes you feel the most loved?
Well, that's a big question.
Yeah.
I think, like spending time with like the people that you love, like quality time is definitely something that makes me feel loved. And also like just like small things, like maybe people like send you a meme and they're like, that's made me think of you.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it's just those little things that make you feel special. It doesn't have to be like huge, like a huge gift or anything, but I think it's like the small things throughout the friendship or relationship that you have that really make it what it is, you know?
Totally. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, those people that go out of their way to make a huge spectacle of like a moment or like a special day or a gift or whatever. Very cool. So appreciative. But I think those moments can sometimes pale in comparison to, as you're speaking to, like those little moments that build up over time, you know, like a thoughtful message here, a meme there, a note here, you know, those things that on the daily remind you like, hey, this person is thinking about you and, you know, cares about you. I don't know, at least for me, that shit hits real hard.
Because you're right, like definitely if it's like a huge thing, then it can sometimes like your expectations are so high and then it's like it's just, you know, one thing and can sometimes not hit the same. It's like
for real
the small things.
Mm-hmm. Well then, to kind of flip that here in closing, what advice would you give to someone who wants to communicate their love needs better? You know, how do you express to people what you need?
I think it really takes, I'm on this journey myself too, but just like getting to know yourself and your needs first, and then you're better able to cater to other people's needs just because you know how to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So then you're better able to understand like, so that like what, once you have your needs filled, you're able to like cater to other people's if they need, you know, any help. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm still trying to figure that out just because I feel like a lot of my relationships haven't been the most healthy. So I'm definitely not an expert in like communicating my needs because I didn't even know. But it's just, definitely like figuring it out for yourself, like what you need, and giving that to yourself instead of looking for it outwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. These past couple of years, more than any other, very easily to be alone and feel alone. That is hard. It's not the ideal situation, but I think there's so much strength that comes from being able to not necessarily thrive, but be okay in the loneliness. And as you're speaking to, find that thing that, you know, your love is and being able to give that to yourself, because you're so, so right. Once you know what that is, becomes a lot easier to communicate that and know what to look for and what not to look for in other people.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you said like what you said, like loneliness is like really hard, but once you're able to like, you know, come to peace with it.
Yeah.
It's honestly like not bad.
Totally.
At all. It's actually like really peaceful and calming for sure.
This is a little tangent, but I was 19 or 20. I was so, I'd lived on the island for like basically 15, maybe not quite 15 years at that point, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And I was so sick of it. I love the island. It's beautiful, but everyone knows each other. So I was like, I need to get the hell out of here. I moved to Edmonton.
Wow.
I know. I barely lasted a year there.
Uh-huh.
I moved right as winter was settling in. So we couldn't go out and do anything because it's like negative 20 all the time.
Oh my gosh.
But... You know, I found a nice little one room and shared with a bunch of homies that I kind of grew to know, but also I was very much just on my own. And in that loneliness, I found who I was. Was it painful and cold and terrible? Yeah, but I was better for it.
Wow. Yeah, and you really made that jump to just like move somewhere completely new and figure that out on your own. Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
For sure came back to the island because I love you, Edmonton, but I don't think anyone was meant to live there. But I hope similarly I'm not saying it has to be some big crazy move or like, you know, anything crazy life-changing, but I think you're already on the path to finding comfort in that soloness, which is so, so important.
For sure. Yeah, that's nice. That was nice. Yeah, I'll figure it out.
I trust. But yeah, that's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans the rest of your day?
I have to go to school. I go to SFU.
Oh, nice. So. My dad went there. This world is too small.
Really is. Vancouver is small too.
True. No felt. Sweet. I do. Again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your morning to chat. It means a lot.
Yeah, thanks for talking.
Sweet. Well, I'll let you to it, but have a lovely rest of your day.
Thanks. You too. Bye. Thanks for talking.
Ciao.
Bye.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing so well. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you, Charity. Thank you very much for having me on and chatting about the music and stuff. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, likewise. I appreciate you taking the time out of the day to chat. It means a lot. How's the day been going for you?
Yeah, good, actually. I've been making some different music at the moment, which has been quite nice. Just a bit of a distraction from the EP, just something a bit different. You know, you get kind of bogged into it a bit, don't you? So yeah, I've been doing some different music today, and obviously loads of promotional stuff, and then a couple of interviews and stuff like that.
That's so fun. Yeah, and definitely it helps to switch up what you're usually doing now and then.
Yeah.
Get outside the box. That's awesome.
Exactly.
And then where are you calling from?
Nottingham.
Beautiful. I am a little bit uneducated when it comes to all the different parts of the UK, but I am trying my best.
That's all right. Yeah, it's kind of the middle, basically.
We're
slap bang in the middle.
Fantastic. Sweet. Well, I'll give you some space here at the top to, you know, sort of give the elevator pitch on you. Who are you? What do you do? And what would you say got you to where you are today?
Ooh, okay. So yeah, I'm Charity Stowe. I'm a singer-songwriter based in Nottingham in the UK. I'm originally from Stamford in Lincolnshire, where I grew up. And I guess that's probably where the music started. And I have to credit a lot of my kind of musical journey to that, and local venues and radio stations that let me try out new stuff there. So yeah, I started doing a lot of open mics and a couple of local gigs, you know, at the bar that I worked, and where we knew people who hosted it who were just really kind to me and gave me a chance. And then yeah, I moved to Nottingham a couple of years ago and started to take it a bit more seriously, and released a few tracks, and I've got this EP coming up. But yeah, I've started to kind of really throw myself into it and kind of give it the best chance that I possibly can, because it's hard to make music, never mind get it to the people to actually hear it. So yeah, I've just been trying to build that up and build up a really nice community around me. So I guess that's how I've ended up here in Nottingham making music.
Oh, that's fantastic. That sounds like a very interesting and hopefully enjoyable journey for you.
Yes, definitely.
So, you know, it's so easy to get caught up, especially for young people, any generation, in the question of, you know, what should I do with my life? Happens to high school, university kids, and even after that. Did that ever challenge you, or did you kind of always know that this was what you wanted to do?
Oh no, I like change. I'm constantly wondering what to do with my life. It feels like there's not one answer. There's lots of small answers. I find that the more I think about it, the more, you know, what I want with my life isn't, you know, I'd like to have a career that I like, but that is kind of the secondary thing. You know, I have found myself kind of focusing more on my relationships and my relationship with myself, and kind of just trying to be a better person, basically, because it's hard work. It's very easy to kind of sit back and not think about that stuff. So I've really been trying to do that. And I think that's kind of changed my music a bit as well. And it's a lot more based on the future and what I want it to look like. But yeah, I left school kind of enjoying music and enjoying drama and stuff like that. But I didn't really know what to do. I didn't really want to go to uni. So I just got a job and saved up. And then I decided that actually music is probably the only thing that I always go back to. Of all the options that I'd given myself, I always had music as something that made me feel good. And that's what you want out of life, isn't it? Something that makes you happy and is an enjoyable experience. So that's why I kind of focused in on music. But yeah, at the moment, I'm questioning lots and lots of things and trying to work out what to do with all of this time. And it is really hard. I totally understand there's so many things that you can do. It's almost, there's always too many options that you kind of just curl up into a ball and think, can't decide.
No, for real.
Yeah, I'm slowly deciding all the small little elements that I want to kind of grow into my future, I guess.
Yeah, that's a fantastic sign. I think, you know, the last thing that you would want is to become stagnant or like complacent, no matter, you know, where you're at with your career and the things you're pursuing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for real. What would you say is your most foundational experience with music? What moment you kind of keep coming back to in your mind, something early on for you?
Yeah, I think foundational is a good word to use for it. There was basically the open mic that I used to go to when I was, you know, my mum didn't even know that I sang. And that was the first one that I went to after she was, oh, you've got quite a nice voice. Maybe we should go, because it was someone we knew who ran it. And it was just a room full of really lovely people who just were there to just play music and listen to everyone else's music. And it was, you know, in this little village, and I was, you know, the youngest one there by about 40 years. So it was a really different experience to kind of, you know, your regular open mic. And I think that was the place that I always went back to, and I just loved playing there because everyone was so supportive and really appreciated everyone's music. And there were, you know, there's some amazing musicians there as well. It's kind of honing in on their wisdom and their experience. And I think I learned a lot from that. And a lot of, no matter what you do, you know, no matter how successful you are, how well you promote something, as long as you're enjoying the musical experience, that's all that really matters. And I think that is what that put into my brain. And that is definitely a really important thing for musicians to have at the forefront of their experience, because otherwise you kind of, it's very easy to get caught up in the other stuff and forget about the music in a way.
Totally. Yeah. Those other things, they, you know, the extra responsibilities that come with beyond the passion of what you're doing that you don't really think about when you're just so invested in the passion. Yeah, that's a tricky skill to not lose sight of the of the reason you started. But it sounds like you're keeping on, so good for you.
I hope so. I'm trying.
Yeah. You've spoken and touched on it a little bit, but what's it been like, you know, juggling life, the music, friends, family, everything else? Do you still find time and just slow down and be charity? Or is it just, you know, go, go, go all the time?
It's been kind of ebbs and flows. In the last couple of months, I actually quit my job and did music.
Oh, wow.
I'm doing music professionally for a few months. And I kind of decided in early July that I was like, right, I'm just going to give, you know, this EP the best shot that I possibly can. I'm going to invest everything into it and really, you know, put some elbow grease into it. And I think that's what I've done. I've been really busy. I've done loads of gigs and I've managed to kind of, you know, pay my bills and be a musician, which I didn't think I'd be able to do. But yeah, I'm very proud of that. And I have really enjoyed it, but it is very all consuming. It's hard to step away from it. And I think now I've done it, now I've kind of been consumed by it, you know, you don't really understand it until you've done it. And I think all musicians get really, really busy and do it loads and then kind of think, ah, okay, this is a little bit too much. And I think that's the stage I'm at. I really do enjoy it and I love it, but I think it needs to balance out with everything else a bit better. And it's really hard to do that as an independent musician, especially. So yeah, I'm kind of trying to make space and time and not neglect things that I shouldn't be neglecting. So yeah, I've been a little less busy going forward now and kind of just trying to spend my weekend seeing my family that I haven't seen for months. And especially with lockdown as well, it's been really hard, and I have thrown myself into my music, and I'm proud of the progress. You can see the progress, and I think that's why it's so addictive, because I'm like, but all the work I can see is working, but it takes a lot out of you. So I think I've learned my lesson, and I think I'm learning to balance it a little bit better, because, you know, it's great to be successful in music, but if you don't have anything else and you don't work at the other stuff, it's a bit pointless.
No, totally. The passion, and then like, man, at the end of the day, I still keep coming back to this, so much of what, as you're speaking to, makes this life valuable is like the people and the connections. And definitely, you can so love the thing you're doing, but if you do not and are not engaging with the people around you, then it's, I think it's going to be a bit of a hollow experience. So yeah, kudos to you. Balance it all. Yeah.
Yeah, it is very hard to balance it, but it's just about kind of sketching out time and making sure that I have weekends that I definitely don't book anything.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's hard to say no, especially when you're paying the bills. It's very hard to say no.
Very fair. To sort of sidestep from music here, this week's question is, what personally makes you feel the most loved?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think, I know, I'm sure that lots of people say this, but I think, you know, it's definitely got to be my, you know, very close circle of family and friends who, it's really lovely when I just see the support from them and I don't, you know, you don't have to ask, you don't have to say anything, even if you're in a bad mood, they still give you everything. And I think it's lovely to feel that from someone, and it's hard to find. It's hard to find people that really respect you and give you the time of day. And I'm glad and very lucky that I've got a group of people that support me and help me through lots of situations, because it would be very hard on your own. So yeah, I think those relationships that I have with them is what makes me feel the most loved. And yeah, I guess also it's because it's reciprocated. I feel the same about them. So it makes it even better. It's not just a one way thing. It's a relationship, and you can feel it building and getting stronger. And yeah, I guess that would be my answer. It's a hard question to answer.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, those sort of deep foundational, you know, longer relationships, stuff that sort of acts like an anchor when all this new stuff, and you know, you're going on your career and you're making all these new connections and you're on the go all the time, to come back to those people that have known you for so long, that feels good. And that feels good to be seen and recognized and remembered.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
To kind of flip that here in closing, what advice would you give to someone who wants to communicate their needs in that sort of like, this is what I need to feel loved? You know, how do you express that to the people you care about?
I think I'm learning you have to be just honest. I think if people are willing to, you know, love you and work at it, they should be willing to listen to what you need, because everyone's love language is different. You know, my family, my parents and my sister, their love language is very different to mine, and it's learning how to make them feel loved as well, even if it's not how you feel loved, if you know what I mean. It's it's being able to kind of listen to them and actually act on what they say. So yeah, I would say the communication is key. It's just to be really frank. Maybe you might have some frank conversations and they might not be easy, but you know, in the long run, it's much better that people know than if they don't, because you can't expect people to know, because they can't read your mind. So you have to tell them. And I think that is a thing that you learn quite quickly within relationships, or you know, once it becomes a problem, it becomes apparent that is the reason. And yeah, communication is key, I think.
No, yeah. And you know, the human mind, so often we find ourselves filling in the gaps of like, we'd be out here assuming people's intentions and stuff without even talking to them. You know, so how can we expect others to, you know, truly know what we're thinking? Yeah, without having that conversation. No, that's a really good point.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so special. And I appreciate that those words and advice, Charity. That means a lot.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad I can offer some sort of wisdom, even though I don't really know what I'm doing either.
Listen, we're all winging it, and that's the beauty of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's kind of about it. Do you have any exciting plans the rest of your day?
I don't know. I think I might go for a bike ride, listen to some music, maybe have a nice relaxing evening. I've not got anything planned, which is quite nice.
That's the ideal sometimes.
yeah, it'd be nice.
That's lovely. Sweet. Thank you so much for sharing and chatting, and it means a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was really lovely, actually. It was nice to talk about all the things around the music. It was a nice talk. Thank you very much for having me on.
Of course.
I look forward to sharing it and listening and stuff.
Yeah, likewise. And I look forward to listening to the new EP out on the 24th. You can pre-save that. Go, people. Beyond that, I'll let you to your nice, relaxing evening, and I'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Sweet. Bye.
See ya.
Special thanks to Jonathan, Alex, and Charity for making this episode possible. Intro music provided by Wayfie, that's W-A-Y-F-I-E, and accompanying tracks by Lowboil, that's L-O-B-O-I-L, who can both be found on all major streaming platforms. Be sure to come by our Twitch stream every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. PST for more Blonde Radio content brought to you live. I'll see you soon, and thanks for tuning in to Blonde Radio.